First class trip across the Atlantic. Make sure you put them laces out. I've been out and about, and I'm loud, cause I found another sound. And I'll pound on the ground for my guys across the pond. Kick is matter, that's the song. Trust me when that word is blown. Y'all can clap, clap, sing along. But on a wheel, they got some real deal analysis. Take the wheel, I think I feel like a catalyst for this build. You know your boy is never out of it. Matter of fact, I think I'll go and win a championship. KMWO, KMWO, man, you know how this go, yeah. KMWO, kick is matter, world order, man, y'all already know, let's go.
Right, good evening, everyone. Welcome along to the Kickers Matter Devi podcast. Jason speaking. You can find me on Twitter at JPW_FF. And I'm joined again tonight by Alan. How are you doing, Alan?
Hey, Jason. I'm doing good.
Yeah? Yeah, I'm not too bad. Just seem like I've been rushing around trying to get the baby to bed and, you know, several things tied together, getting ready for the podcast for tonight.
How's it? Child care. We could be here all night. we could turn into the child care podcast.
Yeah, it would turn into the child care podcast. Yeah. How's your week been? All right, or your month been?
The month. Oh God, that's been a lot to cover. It's been all right though. It's been all right. Global pandemic notwithstanding.
I see we've been sniping each other a little bit in that Scott Fishbowl Dynasty startup that we've had going.
I've managed to get myself up to four quarterbacks.
Who's your four quarterbacks that you're excited about then?
I'm not very excited, if I'm honest. I picked up Mariota just to have a fourth. I got Jordan Love, which I was just picking up a quarterback, and I think until Rodgers did that interview with Kyle Brandt the other day. I thought it could be years before we see him, but it sounds like it might be sooner than we expect.
Yeah, he doesn't sound happy, Rodgers, does he?
He doesn't really, no.
Right, so what we're going to cover tonight then, we're going to get into a bit of college news, just some stuff that's come up over the last month that might be worth discussing. We're going to break down some players that should be on your Devi radars in the Big Ten and the Big 12. And then we're going to answer some questions and finally finish off with a My Guy. So this is the episode that we can refer back to in 2 years' time and see how wrong we were about guys. But we're going to hitch our wagon to a quarterback, running back, wide receiver and tight end from the three upcoming draft classes that we like. Try and not to just go for the number one player that's the general consensus is at that position. We're going to try and just go a tiny little bit deeper on guys that we think that could end up becoming, you know, future NFL stars. So, a little bit of college news then. So, last night, the ACC confirmed that Notre Dame will play in the ACC. They'll play in a 10-game conference schedule. And be eligible for the league title game. So that gives Clemson a little bit of competition there. The way the ACC are going to work things is they're going to play 11 games in total, 10 conference games and one out of conference game, just so they're still getting that little bit of extra competition. But I don't know who they're going to go to arrange those games, because for example, the Big Ten have turned around and said that they're only going to play in conference. So we'll see how that goes. Rutgers have joined Michigan State in quarantining their whole team due to people testing positive for coronavirus, with it being linked to gatherings and parties and things like that. This may become a common thing now, but they're the two sort of biggest organizations that have had to do that. Kalen LeBourne, Florida State running backs, entered the portal after being dismissed by Florida State. Remember back a couple of years, I think he was a five-star prospect. What would it have been? 2017 class. Never really got anything going at Florida State. Obviously, they've had Cam Akers come through there. Terrible team anyway, like we said last time. But he's entered the portal, so it'll be interesting to see where he lands and who gives him a chance, because he is talented, but I think he's his ship sailed now. Oklahoma have given Lincoln Riley a two-year contract extension. He's taken a 10% pay cut, so they've kind of restructured his contract, but that keeps him there through 2025, I believe. TCU have been at it again, getting guys from the portal. They've got former Nebraska receiver JD Spielman, who was a highly touted guy coming out of high school. So he'll be sort of stepping into potentially Jalen Rager's shoes there down in TCU. Obviously, they managed to snap up Zach Evans as well. So, and I think they actually got former five-star linebacker in as well. So Gary Patterson's been always had a great off-season so far. Spielman's waiver has already been granted. So TCU looking good heading into the 2020 season. Anything else to add on the news, Alan?
No, I think that's it. I think the Notre Dame one's interesting. The ACC, I think I picked up on it that it does mean that the rights to any conference that the Notre Dame would want to join until it's 2036 would have to be the ACC. So it does feel as if that's a step towards them becoming permanent members of the ACC, which would probably be a good thing for them, I think. So that would be quite interesting. And the transfer portal remains, I'm so fascinated by the transfer portal. It sounds so much more exciting than it ever ends up being. You get some image of some sort of Star Trek type portal somewhere and someone walks into it and ends up in, you know, Kansas. that's Wizard of Oz, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of them things that I think in the off season we haven't really got a lot to get excited about. So when players throw their name in the hats for a transfer, it's you know, we always hope that they're going to land in, you know, a much better situation and things like that. And you know, it's,
but why is it a portal? What possessed them to decide it was a portal?
I don't know. I don't know what possessed, you know, the NCAA to run a lot of things the way that they run it, but.
Must have sat down one day and thought, we're going to allow players to transfer between teams, and that wasn't enough. So let's make it a portal.
Yeah. You're right, mate. You're all right. The main bit of news there, then, just with Notre Dame playing football in the ACC this year, if it goes ahead. So as far as I'm aware, I think the ACC, the Big Ten, Pac-12. And the AAC, I think, have all said that they're going to be playing within conference. It's going to end up that every conference goes that way, with potentially a bowl game or whatever outside of the conference. But that's the way it's going to work in 2020, if and hopefully when we get college football. Right, are you happy to get on with these Big Ten and Big 12 teams, Emma?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So Big Ten last year. Ohio State 13-0, Minnesota 10-2, Penn State 10-2, Wisconsin 10-3, Michigan 9-3, Iowa 9-3, Indiana 8-4, Illinois 6-6, Michigan State 6-6, Nebraska 5-7, Purdue 4-8, Maryland 3-9, Northwestern 3-9, and Rutgers 2-10. So we'll start with Ohio State then in the Big Ten. Which is probably going to take up half of the podcast tonight compared to the rest of these teams that we're going to be talking about. So a brief little look at their updated depth chart then. It's an unofficial updated depth chart, but it's on the Ohio State website. So obviously at quarterback, Justin Fields is, you know, certainly could be argued as the number one overall quarterback, potentially number two overall quarterback. Heading into the 2021 draft. Phenomenal season last year for Fields. He stepped up from obviously his transfer over from Georgia, and was, you know, was clearly a landed in a very, very good spot in Ohio State behind a great offensive line and with lots of weapons. He's got ideal NFL size for the quarterback position, but I think he can probably still add 10 to 15 pounds and could end up at a, you know, a Cam Newton sort of size. He moves well when he's carrying the football, but I don't think he runs laterally very well. And he's taken a couple of hits trying to get out of bounds. I guess a little bit like what Cam Newton was like. Dives as well, going to the ground with a football as opposed to sliding. But obviously where his games is, you know, where he's going to make his money is with the way he throws the football. He's very, very accurate. He's not required to throw the ball downfield a lot at Ohio State. Which is interesting, really, because a lot of the receivers that they've brought in over this last class are those type of receivers that suit a big arm quarterback. But you know, he took 31 sacks in 2019, sacked on 8% of his dropbacks, which was the highest among most of the notable quarterbacks. In 2019, despite having a good run blocking offensive line, he obviously, you know, the fact that he's thrown three total interceptions in his career shows that he's not one of the quarterbacks that forces the ball down the field. You know, he's willing to make accurate and clever throws, and if he needs to take the sack, then he'll take the sack. The only weaknesses I can see from his game are, you know, not being able to avoid in the sacks, and he doesn't tend to be as I'm not going to say as accurate in the red zone, but he's not very as concise in the red zone as potentially what Trevor Lawrence is. He'll throw fades and one-on-ones a lot more than trying to, you know, force thread the needle, so to speak, force the ball between a few defenders. He doesn't do things like that, which, you know, NFL quarterbacks have to do. So what you got to say about Justin Fields, mate?
I think he's just recovered his life story, haven't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a talented quarterback. He's a dual threat. I do still think there are questions about how he'll transition to the NFL. I think you're right. He needs to be more accurate. But overall, he's got an enticing skill set. He's in a very good place. He'll clearly be one of the stars of the season. It'll be interesting to see if he can take that next step that makes him compete with Horns for the number one overall pick next April, whenever the draft is.
Yeah, and do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he does go as the number one pick. I think the way that the season's shaping up with the whole coronavirus thing and that, I think he's going to be able to, you know, put on show. He's going to go up against, you know, better defenses in the Big Ten than potentially what Lawrence will in the ACC. But you know, they're both.
He just feels if he needs that step. He needs something to step on. I think there's probably too much assumption. They will make that leap, and that, to me, it's still 50-50. I mean, he could be at the end of the season, dropping down draft boards as easily as flying up, and it'll be interesting to see how the season works out for him. But he's certainly got talent. I mean, there's no question about that, right?
So behind him on the depth chart, Gunnar Hoke, not worth talking about. CJ Stroud is an interesting one, quarterback that they've just signed in this 2020 class.
I mean, you presume if Fields went down, Stroud would beat out Hoke.
You'd hope so. I don't know early on, you know, because I don't know how much reps Stroud's had all the camps being cancelled and things like that. But certainly he's going to be the future of Ohio State. They brought him in alongside some real high-profile wide receiver recruits. I think he won the MVP at the Elite 11 last year, didn't he? And I think they see tangibles of him, you know, tangibles of Justin Fields in CJ Stroud. The way that the ball, you know, flies out of his hand is, you know, is nice to watch. It's kind of, when you watch tape on CJ Stroud, it doesn't look like he's putting a lot into his throws. It's quite effortless. His throw, he's got great touch on the ball. He does do what Fields does as well, though. He holds the ball in the pocket and tries to not give it away much, which is, it was eerily similar to what Fields does. He hasn't got the biggest frame in the world as well, but obviously he's got quite a little bit of time to develop that. I think he's 190 pounds. So, you know, hopefully he should hit that 215, 220 mark by the time he gets drafted. Have you watched much of CJ Stroud, mate?
Oh, bits and pieces at this point. I think the word on him is very positive, and he certainly has a lot going for him. I think we'll see a bit more of him as the years go on, and could be an interesting prospect.
Yeah, I like him a lot in Devy leagues, because of the receivers that he's going to be tied to, and you know, obviously the coach that he's got and things like that. He's a quarterback definitely to keep an eye on.
I think Ryan Day will certainly help. I think he has an ability to develop quarterbacks. He's got a good pedigree with quarterbacks.
He will help
Ohio State become all better with it.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I always feel comfortable, you know, tying myself to a guy that is with a coach who's recruited him as well, you know. And, you know, Ryan Day obviously liked what he saw in CJ Stroud. And
you'd hope, I mean, Day obviously was a quarterback coach, so you would hope he would be a good talent evaluator at that position.
Yeah, exactly. Running backs, we won't talk too much into detail, but you've got Trey Sermon and Master Teague. So Master Teague was injured last season. Good, talented running back, but they're clearly worried by the injury. And the departure of J.K. Dobbins, they've brought in Trey Sermon as a transfer, and look, Trey Sermon's going to start there, and you know, should well lead pick up where he left off at Oklahoma.
I think he'll do well there, Sermon. Actually, I think by the end of the season, he'll be a much higher stock than he is.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a buy in your Devy leagues if you can get him on the cheap. I'm not too sure where his ADP sat at the minute, but he's certainly not a top 10 running back on DLF, so he's someone to look at. Receivers, I mean, this is the new wide receiver university, along with probably USC. They're just absolutely littered with talent. So your starters are obviously going to be Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. You've got Jackson Smith Najigba coming in as a freshman. You've got Julian Fleming, the number one overall wide receiver, coming in as well. G. Scott is a guy that isn't as well looked at as the other two, because he wasn't as highly touted coming in. He's a talented guy. They've still got C.J. Saunders there. I mean, all of these guys.
You don't meet many people call him G, do you? Well, you don't Manchester anyway. Maybe then.
So. They named him after that that TV.
Letter. What TV show?
Glee Scott Jr. That's what he's called. Tight end there, you've got Jeremy Ruckert, a guy that not many people are that high on, but I think he's sort of being overlooked by the talent that's coming through at tight end next year. I really like Ruckert. I'll talk about him a bit later on, but I think he could be one of these guys that, you know, doesn't produce much in college, but, you know, has good tangibles coming into the NFL draft, has a great NFL draft process, and ends up being a good pro. Any other players on Ohio State that you want to talk about?
We'll probably touch on Olave later on, who I really, really like. I think he's got a lot of high-end potential. I think he's quite under the radar at the moment.
But yeah, definitely won't be
by the end of the year. Yeah, by the end of the year, I think he'll be a star. I think Teague, I do think the injury is going to do for him. I think Achilles injuries generally take a long time to come back from. And especially when your game's based on being explosive and I can't see that working out.
I personally think he's going to go undrafted because he's not going to be able to put up, you know, J.K. Dobbins numbers with Trey Sermon there. He's not going to be able to. That's just, you know, that's just not going to happen. And like you say, it's the type of the injury. It's the Achilles injury.
It's so often either results in a really, really subpar following season or they get injured again really quickly.
Yeah, they do. And I think a lot of teams just don't take the risk on it. I mean, you look at Deonta Foreman coming out. You know, he went to the Texans in the third round, tore his Achilles, haven't heard from him since.
This must be his breakout season, Deonta Foreman, though.
Yeah. I keep hoping, though, but I don't think it will be.
Is he even on our roster?
Say again?
Is he even on a roster?
He's not currently on a roster, no. He went to the Colts, didn't he, for a bit? I think he was on the Colts practice squad. I think he's just floating about now. I had him in a few leagues, and obviously one of those that you just got to give up on when you're wrong, you know.
I never liked him at all, even though he was fast. I never liked him.
Minnesota, right. Couple of players there then. So we've got at quarterback, Tanner Morgan. He's a junior, had a very good season last year in quite a high tempo offense, going a little bit under the radar as well. I think he's a guy that certainly in campus to Canton leagues you should be looking at targeting. He will score a lot of points. Whether he translates well to the NFL, I don't know. I've seen a lot of guys that I quite respect their views on players. I've seen a lot of guys on Twitter that really like Tanner Morgan and think he could be, a guy that is liked by NFL scouts and GMs. He's obviously
super efficient, isn't he? He's very accurate, and that's going to 66% accuracy last year. That's going to appeal to a lot of people. There'll be questions though, how much is him and how much is the wide receivers. Like Minnesota have wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah, it's just they've surrounded him with a lot of talent there, haven't they? And, you know, in Tyler Johnson and Rashad Bateman that he's had. So, you know, he's been lucky. But, I mean, there was...
Fike's done a good job, hasn't he? I mean, he's recruited well. He's starting to build a program that could be relevant for a number of years.
Yeah. Yeah, I just the only thing I want to see with Tanner Morgan is just a little bit more arm strength. I just think he's going to be one of them quarterbacks that's looked at as a, like a Jake Fromm type guy where, you know, good game manager and stuff and, you know, can keep you in games. And he obviously had an 11 and, what were they, 10-2 record last year? So he's a good game manager. I just need to see a little bit more arm talent there. And I'm not too sure that he's got that. Running back, Muhammad Ibrahim is a guy worth talking about. He is a junior guy that is going to get an abundance of opportunity in this offense moving forward. He's averaging almost 7 yards per carry so far. A lot of patience, good between the tackles, lateral ability. To go sort of west to east and rather than just north to south is good. Not used in the passing game much, and I'm not entirely sure that he would be used in the passing game in any other type of offense either. I don't think he's got the cleanest hands going, and he's got literally no long speed whatsoever from what I've seen. But he is he's been effective, but is that just the system that he's in which has made him effective? I don't know. I can't see him getting a lot of draft stock, but
I wouldn't be overly excited about him. I think that a lot of Gophers fans are probably more excited about Kai Thomas than they are about Muhammad Ibrahim, so I think they're quite hopeful he might beat him out by the middle of the season.
I don't know if he beats him out. I don't think he beats him out. I think they quite like Ibrahim, I think Thomas has probably got a little bit more talent, and he's got that sort of more of that long speed, you know, if you were to break a tackle and he could take it home. But that Ibrahim has not got that. He's quite similar the way he runs the football to David Montgomery. He's going to get caught from behind and he's going to get, you know, he's never going to go for a 60-yard touchdown. It's not.
I thought you loved David Montgomery.
Say again?
I thought you loved David Montgomery.
Yeah. do you know what? I do love David Montgomery, and I do love the situation, and I like him for a bounce back year this year. But I'm not going to sit here lying, saying that he's got, you know, game breaking speed. It's he's got a lot of. I don't think he's going to be an elite level running back for years to come.
If Tim's listening back to this, I hope he can clip out that I love David Montgomery.
Right, wide receivers then. So the main guy we've got to talk about is Rashad Bateman. He's a junior. He's got 111 catches for 2,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 36% dominator rating. Look, I've seen quite a few people say that this guy is the wide receiver one next year, and I'm not going to argue with that. I personally have got Chase above him, but I could quite easily see him being the first wide receiver taken in next year's draft. Great route runner, good at tracking the ball in the air. He has a sort of a my ball attitude, very explosive. I don't see, there are certain flaws in Jamar Chase's game that I don't see in Rashad Bateman. I'm just not sure if he has the ceiling that Jamar Chase has. But, you know, people compare him to Tyler Johnson. They were both classed as quite sort of similarly the way they were looked at by the Debbie community at the start of last year. Tyler Johnson got no draft capital and was forgotten about. I don't think that's going to happen with Rashad Bateman. I can see him going.
I think that is the worry though, Jason. I think that's the concern, is this time last year everyone was all over Tyler Johnson.
They were, yeah.
Really excited by him, and a lot of the same things that we hear about Bateman now, we heard about Johnson then. The big question for me is whether he's really strong enough to play the way he plays in the NFL. He gets away with it on the college level. Unless he becomes bigger and stronger, you wonder if he can play that way at the next level. And I think that's probably the bit that's going to count against him. He's clearly very smart. He's clearly.
I totally agree, mate. But I think, you know, you can. He's got a well enough rounded root tree where you can kick him inside and he can play in the slot at the next level, and I think he will separate at the next level. I don't think he's going to have any issues doing that, but I don't know whether, like you say, he's strong enough going into the NFL to become a high volume possession guy just yet, which is what I think will potentially kick him out of day one. But I do see a lot more in Rashad Bateman than I do in Tyler Johnson. But, you know, it is worrying because you get, you know, there's a lot of fantasy football, you know, analysts out there, Devy analysts out there who, you know, do some really, really great work for the community, you know, and they're really, really high on guys. But and they struggle to sort of let them go and admit that they're wrong when the NFL just doesn't see them the same way. And it's the same with Tyler Johnson, you know, Eno Benjamin, you know, guys like that were highly touted, you know, Devy assets. And they just
I actually think that's one of the biggest failings you see in Devy is that people don't make that leap. They're not prepared to step away from what they see players they like in college and then start to do the skill set and probably more importantly the athletic connection. That's the bit with Bateman that worries me is I would be stunned if he goes in the first round. Based on where he is at the moment.
Yeah, I can't get on board the whole Bateman over Chase thing at the minute, like I said. No. But I do struggle. I've tried very, very hard to pick apart Rashad Bateman's game, and he does not have many flaws. Certainly.
No, agreed. And I think it's just this question of what one other year do to him, and without that top-end athleticism to play the way he plays at the moment, I think people will pick him apart. I don't, when it comes to draft season, they won't pick him apart.
Okay, yeah. Next team down is Penn State. So I'll just glide over a few guys I think are worth talking about. So obviously at the running back position, they've got quite a lot of depth there. Journey Brown came on late last season, exploded into the scene. He's gone from consensus RB11 across different platforms, Devy ADP, to RB4 I've personally got him neck and neck with Chuba. That's how high I am on Jonny Brown. The fact that he is a junior, unlike Naji and Travis and whatnot, the fact that he's got that elite track speed and he's going to be, you know, he's going to have a Jonathan Taylor type combine. And I think that he's going to be put, given an opportunity this year to do what he did in the last 5-6 games of the season, throughout the whole course of the season. And I think he's going to potentially, I would not be surprised if Jonny Brown was the first running back selected in the draft next year as a combination of all those things. I know you're not as high on him as I am, but that's just my thoughts.
He's grown on me a lot, though. I mean, I wouldn't have him quite as high as Chuba, but he is certainly growing on me every time I watch him. I think the explosiveness is definitely there.
Yeah,
my concern remains the same as it's always been, which is that depth chart with Kane and Ford, even Keziah Holmes. You've got a lot of mouths to feed. And yeah,
I don't think they're going to be that concerned with feeding those mouths, because, you know, you look at Noah Kane as a sophomore, Devin Ford as a sophomore, you know, they can, you know, Miles Sanders only carried the ball, you know, enough for us to look at him as a, you know, a round two guy in the last season of his, you know, as a junior, you know, once Saquon had gone, because he had Saquon above him. I don't think Penn State...
Yeah, Brown isn't Saquon now.
No, of course. I'm not saying Brown by any means is Saquon, but what makes you think that they're just going to go back to, you know, going to go to sharing the ball between three or four backs? That's not the way that Penn State do it. They normally have a...
No, it's not so much that. I think it's more that it's the danger that it doesn't take much to knock him off course, man. Gets injured for a couple of games, Kane comes in, does well, suddenly it's more of a split. I was disappointed with Noah Kane last year.
I like Noah Kane coming out.
Oh, yeah.
He was disappointing last year. And I think that they've, you know, yeah, like you say, you know, maybe Jonny Brown doesn't do what he did over the back end of the season, and maybe he, you know, he's got a little bit of competition there to deal with, but I don't see
that. Don't get me wrong, though, I'm pretty high on him. I think you're right. I think he's very good. I think
in terms of ceiling, he's got the highest ceiling of any of these running backs coming out next year. So it depends what way you want to look at it. If you want to play it safe, you know, you've got, you know, your guys like Travis Etienne that you know are going to get that early day two draft grade. You know, you know you're going to get, Najee's probably going to get that early day two draft grade as well. Chuba, you know, he should be right up there as well. The worries with Chuba is the amount of carries that he's had, you know, if that is a worry of yours, or, you know, you could look at it like that. Type of offense that he plays in as well, does that translate to the NFL? I think personally Chuba is my 1A and Jonny Brown is my 1B at the moment, going into 2021. That's what my thoughts are on Jonny Brown. At receiver, no one really,
not a lot
to talk about. No. Jahan Dotson is a junior. He'll probably be the go-to guy this year. But I don't think he's going to be, you know, much of an NFL prospect. Daniel George as well is another junior that could, you know, he should be good for 50 receptions this year and however many yards, you know. The yards are going to have to come from somewhere, so we'll see. But it's a bit disappointing, really. It's the first time I remember looking at Penn State and not seeing a future potential, you know, elite wide receiver. You know, they've produced some really good receivers over the years. You know, I remember Allen Robinson. I remember Chris Godwin coming out. You know, KJ Hamler left there last year. They've had some good players at receiver, but it looks a little.
I think Justin Shorter not working out has definitely hurt that position.
Yeah, they had high hopes for him. Yeah, they got a tight end coming in, 2023 guy, Theo Johnson. Watched a little bit of tape on him as well. I think he's 6'6", big guy. Quite athletic as well. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on if they don't invest in the wide receiver position heavily over the next few years. If they don't get any of these, you know, 2021 four-star, five-star guys, then you know they may have to start funneling their offense through the tight end. But it is a it is an offense that has gone through the tight end for a few years as well. And Pat Freiermuth is the guy who's the starter there at the minute. I was saying before, so one of the guys in the chat, so I think he is, he hasn't got the ceiling of a Kyle Pitts or a Brevin Jordan or, you know, but he, I think he's probably the most NFL ready guy out of the three at the moment. What's your thoughts on him, on Pat?
I think that sums up, to be honest. He strikes me as the kind of guy who will probably play in the NFL for a long time, will probably get a lot of catches, move the chains an awful lot, probably won't ever be a superstar, but will be pretty functional and a pretty useful fantasy asset over the years to come, I would think.
Yeah, and he, you know, he can block as well. He's put blocking on tape. You know, he's shown NFL scouts that he can do that, both in the run game and in the passing game as well. So he's you know, he can be lined up in that sort of H-back role and be asked to sort of chip in and protect the quarterback if needs be. So he's a guy that if you missed out on a Kyle Pitts or a Brevin Jordan or, you know, whatever, then, you know, don't write Pat Freiermuth off. He's a good tight end. Wisconsin. So, quarterback. They've got Jack Cohn listed as the starter, who's the senior. I don't believe that he will be the starter. He's certainly not going to play out the whole season. Graham Mertz is a guy that we haven't seen much tape on. He was a good prospect coming out of high school. I'm just trying to look now, you know, his stats from his limited games that he played last season. So he only threw for 73 yards, 90% completion rate, no touchdowns, no interceptions. One game he was involved for. The problem with Graham Mertz is he going to get that opportunity? He's quite clearly the better of the two quarterbacks. He's got great mechanics, very good pocket presence as well. He knows when the pocket's collapsing and he'll roll out. He trusts his offensive line unlike some of these college quarterbacks. You know, he can rely on his offensive line and keep his eyes downfield. He's got good touch and accuracy on the ball. He participated in the Elite 11 when he played there, and he set passing records in the All-American Bowl to cap off his high school career. I want to see all of that translate to the NFL because Wisconsin haven't had a capable quarterback for years. What's your thoughts on Graham Mertz, mate?
He certainly looks interesting. I think he's one of these players who a lot can be read into people who like him, and a lot of the people who like him are people who have pretty good track records of picking quarterbacks. I expect he'll beat Cohn out by the middle of the season, based on all you're hearing. Cohn's, you know, he's okay. I guess the one thing that will keep Cohn in the team is he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Is whether they stick with Cohn through the season and then transfer to Mertz next year.
Yeah, I think that's more likely just because of, you know, Cohn, you know, he won them a lot of games last season. Jonathan Taylor won them a lot of games last season, but you know, like he did win them a lot of games. So I think it would make more sense that Wisconsin stick with Cohn, and especially with everything that's going on as well. I don't know how much of, you know, Mertz has been able to sort of do with that offense. So, you know, we'll see. But I think he's a.
It's one of those, though, where it wouldn't take much for them to make that switch, you would imagine. They lose a couple and. Yeah, you know, what, 10-4 last year?
I agree. The only issue with Mertz moving forward is the cast. You know, the Wisconsin are a running team. You know, you got any wide receivers listed that you want to talk about? Well, I've not. Tight end, Jake Ferguson, I quite like him, but he's a junior.
I've got written down empty cupboard.
Yeah, exactly. And it has been for years. You know, was it Quintus Cephas that came out of there last year? That's about as good as you can.
It's so unbelievably slow.
Yeah. So look, you know, you can like Graham Mertz, but you've kind of got to like his supporting cast. You've not got one, so that's the only worry with him. At running back, they've got Nakia Watson, obviously, and Garrett Groshier. But I can see their new shiny freshman, Jalen Berger. It won't be long until he beats both of them out. They like, the only thing with Wisconsin is they do like their running back. They like to trust their running backs. You know, they like to, they've got no worries putting mileage on their running backs if they trust them. And they like their running backs to be able to pass protect and stuff as well. So Jalen Berger's got, he's going to have a lot to learn. You know, he's going to have big shoes to fill as well coming in. But I can't see too much, you know, too many worries for him. To, you know, he's not going to have to work overly hard to beat out what's ahead of him. Personally,
he's super exciting and has excellent pedigree, landing in a system with one of the best offensive lines in college football. They'll be able to run the ball. I would expect he'll get a lot of touches. He might not start all season, but he'll get a lot of touches. I think he'll be, by the end of this season, people will be fighting over him in Devi, I would think.
Yeah, and you've, one of our leagues, you've avoided anyone fighting over him, haven't you? Because you,
you've had the isn't it? Yeah. For the whole song of a door.
Right, moving on, Michigan. At quarterback, they've obviously lost Jarrett Patterson, which isn't an issue.
What a terrible loss.
Sorry, Shea Patterson, not Jarrett Patterson.
Shea Patterson, yeah.
Yeah, but that's fine because he sucked. So it's out of Dylan McCaffrey and Joe Milton there this season. Likely to be McCaffrey.
What an exciting battle that promises to be.
Yeah.
Swiftly moving on.
Yeah, moving on from the quarterback position. There's nothing really there, I think, to get excited about. Charbonnet is the Devy attraction for Michigan at running back. Good player. If you want to sort of hear an in-depth breakdown of the guy, then head over, listen to Brandon Lewain's podcast, The Devy Deep Dive. He broke him down very well. He spends a whole episode breaking down Zach Charbonnet. Charbonnet's a guy that I think has a really, really high ceiling. I just don't know that in that team and in that offense that he's going to be able to put up numbers that are going to compare with other sophomore running backs, you know, guys like Breece Hall and players like that. I don't know. He's not going to be the number one running back in that class, in my opinion. But he's certainly a top 15 Devy running back.
Yeah, and I actually really like him. I think I like him more than you do, but I think your point is absolutely spot on. Michigan don't really put skilled players in the NFL, do they?
Right, so moving on, wide receiver then. So you've got a couple of guys that are worth talking about. Obviously, Nico Collins is a senior. I like Nico Collins. He's a really good player, and he's been... You know, he hasn't had the greatest of college careers this year, but to be, I guess, on board with Nico Collins, you know, you need to sort of have some sort of confidence in who's throwing in the ball, and I don't really have that. I just think he's a guy that may well not produce in college, but could be a good NFL pro.
I think he's going to. We'll probably argue about this forever. But to me, he's just the absolute epitome of what the NFL doesn't like anymore. He's not particularly...
Yeah. He hasn't got any top-end speed, and the NFL likes speed. Yeah, I totally get that, yeah. But there's a lot of guys that have had, you know, the size and physicality that Nico Collins have had and that have, you know, have had no draft stock. The NFL haven't gone on top of him. Yeah, you're right.
If I was betting, if Nico Collins comes off the board before the fourth or fifth round next year, I would be pretty surprised.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think he's just one of them old-fashioned receivers that is, you know, you look at and you think, oh, I'll have a bit of that. What, you know, wide receiver one, but
so to be clear, Jason, you would think So we'll have a bit of that.
I think I'm quite old fashioned with my wide receivers. We cleared this up on the last pod, but they've got a nice shiny freshman receiver coming in who I do really like, but you know, again, get him a quarterback. AJ Henning coming in. I think he was the 48th prospect in the class of 2023 so far coming in. 5'10", 183. He's probably going to be a top end, sort of like back end, sort of wide receiver maybe. I don't really know, because he played quite a lot of slot in high school, but I think he translates more to a deep threat in college. He is a good route runner. He really, really is. Great playmaker. Tracks the ball well in the air, and he's going to run a very, very fast 40 at the combine. It's just the landing spot. I mean, it's great for Michigan fans.
So said it's Michigan don't put skilled players in the NFL.
No, they don't. No, and that's why I don't understand the whole Henning thing, because he was, you know, he's quite a he was a popular prospect coming out of high school.
Well, I mean, I think you know, the reasons are obvious. It's a powerhouse program. Harbaugh's a good recruiter. You know, there's obvious reasons why you go there, but their ability to put skilled players in the league is abysmal.
Yeah, it is. Anyone else from Michigan that you want to talk about?
I think you've covered them. I think Ronnie Bell probably will be their lead receiver this year rather than Collins. Be interesting to see if he can make a leap. He probably needs to make a bit of a jump to be really relevant. But I think he'll probably be their main receiver. And the one just to watch out for is whether Chris Evans makes any sort of impact if he does manage to stay on the roster post suspension. He's certainly got talent. It'd be interesting to see if he can make that work for him.
Yeah. Okay. So all the rest of the programs, then we'll just pick out some guys if you like them as we go down. So we've got Iowa, Indiana, and Illinois. So anyone from those three programs that you want to talk about?
Iowa, not really. Illinois, not really. Who was the other one? Indiana?
Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, yeah.
Indiana, I've got Stevie Scott, who I think I'm probably lower on than anyone else.
I think I'm there with him. I'm not as high on him as what his ADP is at all. I don't get that. I've not seen
I was reading a stat about Indiana. I think it's absolutely fascinating stat. You've got a big back like Scott.
Yeah.
And for 845 yards last year, right? Indiana haven't won a game in which they rushed for less than 100 yards since November 2012. Yet, Stevie Scott only managed to rush for 845 yards.
Yeah, the guy's, what is he, 240 pounds or something? He's a big boy, like.
Like, if you know the path to winning is through running, it's a running team that needs to run the ball better, and they still can't give them enough work to get more than 845 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be very excited by him, to be honest. The problem, I know some people are, but...
You know, he had a decent breakout age. You know, he's only a junior now, going in, and, you know, he's a tough boy. You know, a little bit, quite similar to AJ Dillon, but I don't like Stevie Scott anywhere near as much as I like AJ Dillon. I think Dillon's got a lot more speed to his game for a big boy. Stevie Scott just looks slow, very, very slow, and he's not actually he's not very elusive as well. I like my, you know, big running backs. If they haven't got that speed, you need to be able to compensate that for that with being elusive and slippery between the tackles, and I don't see that in Stevie Scott. He just tries to just run people over. That's all he does, certainly in the tape that I've watched as well. He's probably got enough speed to sit on an NFL roster as a power back, but
well, that's as he has to be on a Garrett Blunt, right? And there's not many Garrett Blunts.
No, they're not. Yeah, the NFL teams don't really need LeGarrette Blount type players anymore. So I don't know. I don't, you know, £240 as a junior, and he's able to do things in college that because of his power and his size, then he's not going to be able to do in the NFL. So I've got no interest in Stevie Scott really whatsoever.
We've spent too much time on Stevie Scott.
Michigan State, Nebraska, anyone from them too? I've got a couple of guys I want to talk about at Nebraska, or one guy I want to talk about at Nebraska.
The only guy in Nebraska I had was Wandale Robinson.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. They obviously lost J.D. Spielman as well, didn't they? He's gone down to TCU. Yeah.
And I mean, a lot depends there on whether Frost can get that program together. He needs to take a step on from where they've been. I think he obviously promised a lot when he got there. He probably needs Martinez to stay healthy, but I don't know.
I mean, what was Martinez's stats from last season? I think he threw almost the same amount of interceptions as he did touchdowns. It was literally like a 52-48 ratio, touchdowns to interceptions. If I'm right, anyway, that's what I'm sure that's what I've seen. I didn't really watch an awful lot of Martinez. What I have seen of him, there's nothing exciting about him whatsoever.
Ten touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Yeah, there you go. So, look, you know, what I like Wandale Robinson, I really, really do, but I just need to see that little bit of improvement from Martinez. He's very versatile, he's got great hands. He isn't the greatest of route runners, but is that because, you know, of that offense and that whole system there? I did the whole program. I don't really know. He carved out a nice role as a freshman last year, and he's a true sophomore going in this year. So we're going to get 2 more seasons of Wandale Robinson. I really like him as a prospect, but it's, you know, certainly in CTC leagues, I don't know how much production you're going to get out of him at Nebraska.
Yeah, I think that's a fair show.
Purdue and Maryland then. So I've got a couple of guys I want to talk about Maryland. I quite like Maryland as a program. So I'll let you kick off with what your thoughts are on Rondale Moore at Purdue.
I love Rondale Moore. There you go. That's it. That's my thoughts on him. I think he's going to be a star.
He's a speed guy, but he's more than just a speed guy. He's a rack guy. I compared him a little bit to Steve Smith. I don't know what you thought about that.
I like the comparison. I think his toughness is definitely there. His speed's there. He's a playmaker playing for pretty poor program and still shows out all the time.
Yeah, the only fault to Rondale Moore is his size. But the thing is, and you know, we are put off by these 180-pound wide receivers. The NFL's not, but they don't do anything for fantasy. But he doesn't play like he's 180 pounds. He doesn't look like he's 180 pounds. He doesn't let his size become a weakness in his game, which a lot of these other guys, you know, these KJ Hamlers and, you know, players like that, you know, John Ross, you know, they do. They, you know, that is a weakness to their game, the size. But I just can't see for the life of me any film where I look at him and I think, oh, he would get mullered in the NFL if he tried to do that. Do you know?
The danger with him is it is the John Ross factor, right? Okay, Ross was injured, so maybe not a great comparison, but it's that he lands in a place that don't know how to use him. You know, if he lands in Kansas City, or even somewhere that knows how to space their offense, San Francisco, somewhere that they can create space for him. He can get him the ball and he can move him around. He'll be a star. If he ends up in, I don't know, Tennessee, we'll never hear from him again. Yeah.
I think you're right. He needs an offensive coordinator that can, you know, that can use his abilities to advantage. Anyone else for Purdue that you want to talk about?
Well, David Bell's the other one, obviously, when Moore went down last year, was extremely effective.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Pretty exciting. How he'll manage when Moore's back in the field, whether he'll get enough work, I don't know, but he certainly looks very good. Yeah, the idea of probably putting two top end wide receivers in the NFL could be interesting, but that certainly looks like the direction of travel.
Yeah, he's. Would you say that he was? I'm not going to say he's the same prospect as Rondale Moore, but would you say that his game was a little bit similar to Rondale Moore, or what would you? Who would you sort of compare him to in the NFL then?
Oh God, I hate comps of any description.
Just to give guys an idea as to what they're getting in that sort of prospect, you know.
He's bigger than Moore, height wise, similar size. He's got a lot of the same traits. Probably has a bit more size.
I mean, he's over 200 pounds, 6'2". You know, he didn't look very quick last year from what I saw of him. He has much sort of long deep speed. But he did seem as a freshman to have quite a good knowledge of the route tree that Purdue were asking him to run.
I think probably the word I was looking for is he's not as sudden as Moore is.
Yeah,
he has a lot of similar traits, but doesn't have that same immediate explosion that the Rondale Moore has shown so far. Now maybe that's coming. Well, we'll see. I mean, he racked up 1,000 yards last year, so you know. There's reason to think he's well placed to make that leap, I think. But to me, Moore's still the superior prospect.
Yeah. Right, Maryland then. Moving on. So, a couple of guys to talk about there. Running back, Penny Boone, freshman coming in. Good land for Maryland, really. Four-star guy.
They've recruited well, haven't they? They've done a good job of getting some interesting players in.
I'm excited with Maryland. I'll talk about one of my guys, one of my 2023 guys that I absolutely love a bit later on. But he's got good size, Penny Boone. 6'1", 225 as a freshman. So he's going to be a big boy.
Penny Boone's a good name, isn't it? Penny Boone. That's what every NFL running back should be called.
He sounds like a proper old school running back then, doesn't it?
Yeah, Penny Boone. Well, yeah, that or a really dodgy girl from the 1960s.
Bell cow potential. Could you know he caught the ball in high school for a big lad. Just doesn't seem to have much of a second gear, so I don't know if he's going to be one of these guys that, you know, not very much breakaway speed, gets caught from behind, you know, that sort of thing. But he can carry a team on his back, and I don't necessarily think that that Maryland are going to be the run heavy team that they have been in previous years, the way that they're sort of starting to set their team up now. So they obviously got Tua's younger brother, Taulio Tagovailoa, coming from Alabama. He transferred, which was quite a good land for Maryland, really. He's more
in terms of name and capability, though.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not put anything on tape that was anything remotely close to what his brother did, but you know, he comes from a football family, and you know, he had good. You know, he was efficient in high school and was a popular prospect coming out. So, you know, it's a good land for the Terrapins. But the guy I want to talk about, the 2023 guy, wide receiver, he's actually my wide receiver two in the 2023 class, Rakim Jarrett. You know, the landing spot was a strange one because he verbally committed to LSU. And then he flipped on signing day and signed for Maryland. He's got good size already as a freshman, 6 foot on the nose, 210 pounds. I think he translates as a slot guy to the NFL, just because of how good of a route runner he is. He's one of the best route runners that I've ever watched tape of coming out of high school. I just, the variety of routes that he can run, he's such a mature receiver for how young he is. He's got blazing speed as well, so you can line him up outside and play him in that position if needs be. But his main strength to his game is his quickness, which is why I think he translates to the NFL better. And what I mean by quickness is I'm not talking about long speed. I'm talking about the ability to get off the line of scrimmage and break press coverage and get to the tip of your route where you need to get to for the ball to be delivered. He runs his routes precisely and quickly. And he can get to that first, that second, that third level ahead of very, very, very good DBs. The only weakness that you've got is potentially the landing spot. But I think that he's going to be thrust into. There's quite a few good wide receivers at Maryland. You've got Deshaun Jones, Dante Demus. You've got. But they're both, one of them's a junior, one of them's a senior, and they landed another three-star freshman receiver. I'm not entirely sure what he's called, but they've got quite a stacked depth chart there in Maryland. But look, Jarrett was the prize, and he's gonna get on the field as a freshman, and look, I think he's gonna put up huge numbers, and I think he's got NFL traits written all over him already. His stop-start ability, he could, it just makes him both without the ball and with the ball, just makes him a really, really good prospect. I know you've watched quite a bit of tape on him and you like him as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've summed up. I think he's very exciting. It'd be interesting to see if he can keep it going and sort of get similar kind of draft stock to DJ Moore or someone like that.
Yeah. Maryland have produced some. I mean, obviously, Stephon Diggs was only a fifth round draft pick, but they kept a lot of their coaching staff for the last 4, 5, 6 years. They've produced some NFL talent as a program over the last few years at the receiver position. So I'm excited by Rakeem Jarrett. Right, we are obviously running a bit behind schedule. So should we crack on and smash through the Big 12, or should we go on to the listener questions and the My Guys? What do you want to do?
So we do the questions and our guys, and then we can regroup and decide what we do in the Big 12.
Yeah, so we'll hit the questions then. Is that what you said? You want to go? You want to go for the questions?
Yeah, I just got the questions. I need to find the questions.
Right, so first one, behind Justin Fields and Tanner Morgan, who's the next best quarterback in the Big Ten? And that was Michael Hume that sent that question. So who are we after then, after Fields and Tanner Morgan? Any quarterbacks in that Big Ten that you think are going to be, potentially translate well to the NFL?
I think Mertz is probably the one who sort of stands out, probably the only one that you would think. I mean, Tanner Morgan, I would have played the whole match, to be honest.
I think Mertz has got great, really high ceiling, but the worry with him is just going to be who he's playing with for the next few years, like we've already said.
Yeah, agreed.
And we've got to see what Taulia does in Maryland as well.
I do think he'll struggle to beat out Josh Jackson.
Jackson plays this year. I do, yeah. I do. But I don't think that he would have, I think with him going there, I think he thinks going in there that he stands a good chance of playing this year. They like Jackson, so we'll see. But yeah, it's a bit of a vague answer there, Michael, but to be honest, the Big Ten isn't exactly blessed at the minute with quarterbacks. Sean Clifford.
I don't think it's vague though. I think it's Mertz. I don't think there's anyone else that you would have in that group.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm looking at what Michael Penix at Indiana, Dylan McCaffrey, Sean Clifford, there's no one else really that's worth talking about. So I think, yeah, as a ceiling, I agree, it's Mertz. Right, Kev has asked us to put our 2023 running backs in order. So he's given seven running backs, the main guys, and he just wants us to say who our guys are, how you would order them.
I mean, of that bunch, I think we're probably in agreement that it's probably Bijan is one. Then it probably gets a bit more disagreeable because I think it's probably Kendall Milton at two, and you'll have Gibbs, presumably.
Yep. Yeah.
I would then have Gibbs three.
Okay.
I'd play Bowman four, Bigsby five, Evans, and playing Lloyd, but Lloyd only at the back because I haven't really seen very much of him or Evans, to be fair.
Yeah, so I've watched quite a bit of tape on all of these 2023 running backs. I've got a little bit excited over the last few months with lockdown, and I've gone quite deep into much sort of high school film as I could grab on all of them. But everybody has their preferences on the actual running backs. And you can't just look at the tape. You need to look at the situation that they're going into as well. So I got Lloyd at seven. Really like him. Going to South Carolina, he's in a place that is... he's going to be able to become a high volume back. I got Kendall Milton at six. I think the fact that he's gone to Georgia is getting him higher than what he, talent wise, what he is. But he's going to have an opportunity to do what running backs before him have done. DeMarcus Bowman, I've got a five. DeMarcus Bowman is very, very similar running back to Travis Etienne. Like they've literally gone out to try and get a similar guy. All of Etienne's tangibles are things that I see in Bowman's tape in high school.
But he's got to put them together, right? In a way that.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, I'm not saying he's going to come in and be Travis Etienne, but you know he's not going to see the ball much in his freshman season. Etienne doesn't play in the fourth quarter, and he won't play in the fourth quarter this season. So, you know, Bowman's going to get on the field in the fourth quarter, but, you know, he's going to be playing against wardown defences and, you know, very, very tired guys. And so he's probably going to look a lot better than what he actually is. So, you know, let's see what he does as a freshman and not count it too much. And then when he is given, you know, the keys to, you know, to the car, then let's see what he does with it, how he drives it. He looks very similar to what ETN did coming out of high school. Number four for me, Tank Bigsby. Beast of a running back. Really, really good guy going to Auburn. Really, really like his everything about his game. The only thing I would like to see a little bit more is the way that potentially Auburn are going to use him in the passing game. I want to see more than just like dump offs and screens and stuff. I want to see whether he can run routes as well as a running back. But I got nothing to say bad against Tank Bigsby between the tackles. Number three for me is arguably a guy that is probably the most talented of all these running backs, Zach Evans. The guy's just a knob. And I just look. He's gone to a school with coaches that I think should be able to, you know, rein him in a bit. But he's just every opportunity that he's been given, he's ruined so far. So, you know, we'll see. NFL team. He's already done enough for NFL teams to have, you know, question marks against his name and when it comes to the NFL draft. So, but in terms of talent, he is probably up there with Bijan as the most talented in this class. Gibbs, I've got at two. I talked about Gibbs on the previous episode. I think there's one league I don't have Jamar Gibbs in, and pisses me off that I don't have him in that league. So he's a guy that has all the talent in the world, but has gone to an odd landing spot. And we just need to see whether his game, you know, that sort of outside zone sort of game that he plays, the power sort of inside zone game that he plays translates well to the way that Georgia Tech use their running backs. We said in the last episode that they kind of are going to need to manipulate their offense a little bit to cater for Jahmyr Gibbs, because if they expect him to come in and change the type of running back that he is, it's not going to happen. He's not going to turn out to be the player that we want him to be. And then number one is Bijan. Up there, we bang on with talent with Zach Evans, but you just don't have the off the field worries. Turn on the high school tape, watch Bijan Robinson, and it looks like a 30-year-old man playing with 13-year-old boys.
Can't believe you said that.
I did just say that. So he may well have off the field problems as well, by the sounds of it, from what I've just said.
Yeah, can we just put some sort of razor on that? That's not what he meant. Can I say this? That's not what he meant. Move swiftly on.
So, what do you want to do then? Do you want to leave the Big 12 till next time, and should we just go on with our my guys now? And then
we'll have to be here, or we'll still be here at midnight.
Yeah, we'll do that. We haven't obviously gone through as quick as we thought we would. So we'll try and break down as much as we can of the Big 12, the Pac 12, and the SEC in our August episode. So all we're going to do now is we're going to give a list of a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, and a tight end for the 21 class, 22 class, and 23 class that we are now labelling as our guys. So these are guys that we're rooting for throughout the process, and guys that we think we may be higher on than other people. So, Alan, I'll let you go ahead with your 2021 class, mate.
Oh, God. We have to be higher on than other people. I'm not sure that's true of all of these, but... I've tried to be at least relatively balanced and deep in some of the selections, but the quarterback I've put down is Sam Ellinger, who I definitely think I like more than a lot of people. I like his toughness. I think he has a better chance of being an NFL quarterback than people think. It'll be interesting to see what his season's like this year. I could see him make a significant jump and end up being a second round pick next year. There's something about him that I really like.
I think that he's a leader, isn't he? You know, they love him in Texas. They absolutely love him. And I think scouts will like that. I just think he needs to win them more games this year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment, I think. The running back, I think, is Travis Etienne, who I absolutely love. I know you're not so much of a fan of. Wide receiver, I've got Chris Olave, who I really think by the end of the season will be a star. Extremely quick, exactly the kind of skill set I think that the league's looking for these days. Really will, I think, lead Ohio State in receiving and certainly be their deep threat. And then the tight end I had was Brevin Jordan, who I think it's maybe a little bit undersized for what they look for, what the NFL look for in a tight end now. We could maybe do with being slightly bigger, but I think his ability, physical ability, and athleticism make him a really interesting player for.
Yeah, he was quite a highly touted guy, wasn't he? And, you know, he still is quite a highly touted guy, but he seems to have lost a little bit of steam with the sort of Devy community on Twitter over the off season, which I don't really know why, but he's got real elite potential. Brevin Jordan coming out, I think the NFL will quite like him.
Yeah, I mean, I really like him. I think he's got a lot about him. I think with the right landing spot and a bit of patience, I think he could be a really interesting NFL tight end.
So, for me, at quarterback, I've got KJ Costello. Now, hasn't done a lot coming in so far. Obviously, he's a redshirt senior, transferred from Stanford over to Mississippi State, where he's going to be playing for Mike Leach, which is pretty much a lot of the reason why I like KJ Costello. But prior to landing at Mississippi State, I did see things that I quite like. He's got great NFL size, 6'5", 220. He's got a career completion percentage of 62.5%. He's thrown for over 6,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. People don't like him because of the injury, because he's going to be old coming into the NFL. Not that I think that that matters at the quarterback position. And he's got some footwork issues as well. He can look quite sort of messy in the pocket when he's moving around. But he's got.
I always think he seems like a really successful author. I could imagine reading books, but imagine reading books by KJ Costello.
An author.
Yeah. A great name for an author.
Now, like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Children's books. I mean, we don't want to go down the children's road again.
So, look, he's got good velocity on his pass. He's got a very strong arm. He has nice touch and on his passes. He is accurate with the football. He doesn't offer much in the running game. Whatsoever. I think he's got 96 career rushing yards. But look, I think with all of the tangibles that he's got and the fact that he's got a, you know, he's thrown for 50 touchdowns already, and he's going into a Mississippi State offense, albeit for 1 year, I think he's going to be in the running for the top passer in the nation this year. And he will be doing it against SEC defenses. I'm telling you now, Costello will have a huge rise in the way people look at him heading into the NFL draft. Because, you know, you look at Joe Burrow before his senior season, he'd done absolutely nothing. And it's just when stars align and when things come together, all you need is one season. And I think that that's what we're going to get now. I'm not saying he's necessarily going to be a great NFL quarterback, but I'm saying that I think his draft stock's going to be a hell of a lot more than what it is at the minute. And I think he's going to be talked about as a top four, maybe even top three quarterback going into the NFL draft next year. At running back, I kind of couldn't pick one, so I picked two. I'm just going to mention Journey Brown. I picked Journey Brown up in a Debbie League in the middle of last season, just before he had his breakout towards the end of the season, just because, I saw things that I really, really liked on tape. And watching a little bit of Penn State, and I just thought, God, you know, if this guy gets a chance to be the bell cow in this offense, he's going to go ham. And I managed to get him rostered in a few leagues, and you know, he's taken off now. I think he's a consensus RB4 Devi running back. So I wanted to mention him, but I'm not going to go with him for my guy. I'm going to go with Kennedy Brooks at Oklahoma. Again, it's a situation thing at Oklahoma. He's run for over 2,000 yards in his career so far. Last season, averaged to 6.3 yards per carry. He hasn't got Trey Sermon to contend with anymore because he's gone to Ohio State. He's a very, very, very good pass blocker. Great in pass protection. He's got good instincts and vision. And he's explosive. He hasn't been used much in the passing game. So far at Oklahoma, so I'd like to see him used a little bit more this season in the passing game. Jonathan Taylor wasn't used in the passing game until his junior season, and then they got him involved, and I'm hoping to see something similar from Oklahoma with Kennedy Brooks. The only issue is the long speed, which when I touted how much I like David Montgomery coming out, I kind of dismissed the long speed, and I think that came back to bite me a bit with that's what's let him down in the NFL, and I don't know whether that is something that may let Kennedy Brooks down in the NFL, but everything I look for in a running back other than that long speed, he's got. So I'll go with him at running back. Wide receiver is a guy that we've just drafted in the podcast CTC League, Seth Williams. He is an aggressive alpha receiver. Plays in Auburn. He is, what sort of, what we're looking at size, 6'3", 210. He is, actually 6'3", 214. Now he's a junior coming in, 38% dominator rating. Career stats, 85 catches for 1,364 yards, 13 touchdowns. He's got a massive catch radius, great hands. Like I said, broke out at an early age. He's athletic. I think he'll test well. The only issue with him is he had a fair few drops last season, just focus-based drops that he can iron out. I like the fact that he's put up the stats that he's put up in the SEC. I just think that, again, it might be the whole, I fell in love with Bryan Edwards two seasons ago. And I think
my... Yeah, that is my one worry about Seth Williams.
Yeah.
I think everything you said is right. It's that lack of speed that just makes you wonder, he could become another Bryan Edwards, he could become another Tyler Johnson.
I don't see a huge lack of speed.
Because he has a huge lack of speed, but it's like a top end speed, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was used over the top a fair bit, but he was more effective with other routes other than just go routes. But I think he's got that if he needs it. But that isn't what is the pro to his game is. The pro to his game is being that my ball type wide receiver. I know you said you don't like comps. I can't help but see Allen Robinson when I watch him, similar to what A-Rob was like at Penn State. So, I think he'll be all right in the NFL. I think his route running's good enough to compensate for that potential long speed issue.
Yeah.
At tight end, my guy is Jeremy Ruckert, Ohio State guy. I mentioned him earlier, 6'5", 250. He's only got 15 catches for 155 yards so far, but he has got four touchdowns on them 15 catches. He's not a great blocker. He can do it where it needs be, but that isn't a strength to his game. He has got NFL size though. He's athletic, good hands, and good balance. I think he'll test pretty well. I just, like I said before, I don't think he's going to put up dazzling numbers, because they're just absolutely blessed at wide receiver, Ohio State are. So he was the top ranked tight end coming out according to 24/7 in 2018. He's not going to see the type of volume that Kyle Pitts and Brevin Jordan and probably even Pat Freiermuth are going to see next year. But look, I like him. He's a guy to watch out for, and I think he's going to be a very good NFL tight end. 2022, mate, who you got?
I think at quarterback we'll probably both end up with Sam Howell. I think everyone's probably in the same place with Howell at the moment.
Yeah,
excellent season last year. Probably the comebacks in the fourth quarter really are something to get excited about. He definitely has a certain steel about him that really makes you think he's going to be something. If you're looking for someone a bit deeper, I think it's pretty difficult not to root pretty hard for Ryan Helinski to make it. I think he's actually showing a lot of guts, a lot of determination and a skill set that might get him over the line.
Yeah, I like Helinski. I got I'm playing in a 20 man C2C league, and like he's my QB1 on my campus side of my roster, because it was just absolutely impossible to try and trade up and get another quarterback. So I got quite a bit invested in Helinski in that league. I like what I've seen from him as well. I don't know if I see anything special in him,
No, I agree. I think it's the story more than anything else, and I think the ability to root for someone to make it is pretty great there, actually.
Yeah,
I think that's probably where we'll keep an eye out on him. Running back, I think again we'll probably certainly send one in Breece Hall. He certainly has the look at the moment of an NFL back. A lot to be excited about.
I would happily, you know, hedge my bets and say that Breece Hall's a better running back prospect than any of the 2021 guys. Like I say, I'm quite enamoured with Journey Brown, but there's no one in the 2021 class as of yet that I'm as excited about as I am with Breece Hall.
Yeah, I would probably have mind ETN and Chubba, I think, but then it's early days, so you know, there's a lot to start to see. A wide receiver, I'd have Theo Weiss, I think this time next year, I think people will be very excited about. There's obviously a big hole at Oklahoma receiver, yeah, and a big competition there. I think Weiss will likely jump through that and be a pretty big contributor this year. And then sort of cheated at tight end and put Charlie Cole, who
probably higher on the newer. About Charlie Cole, you've mentioned him in every episode so far.
I like Charlie Cole. Yeah. I don't get very excited about tight ends, so you know, Charlie Cole is the best I can come up with at tight end.
So for me, I've gone Sam Howell again at quarterback, exactly the same as what you said. Good prospect. Running back, Breece Hall is my number one guy, but I've gone with Jerry O'Neely because I think I like him a lot more than what you do.
Yeah, we could spend hours arguing about Jerry O'Neely. Although I do like Jerry O'Neely, I think as a player he's very exciting. There's a lot to like. I just worry about the size.
Yeah, totally get that.
I sort of think that the best case is he ends up as Garb Lindsay.
Yeah, okay.
Which isn't bad. Yeah,
I like to see what his most recent weigh-in has, because, like you said, the Rebels had him listed at 180 on their website, which I don't know how recent that is, but that's disappointing if he's still sitting at 180. I think he was 180 coming in. So, look, very athletic, has receiving ability, already shown it, you know, in the SEC. He's got very, very good top-end speed, and, you know, he's already recorded, you know, 1,000 sort of all-purpose yards as a freshman. So, you know.
I definitely see why you like him. I just worry about the size. Similar in person, we were talking the other day about Eric Gray. Very similar, very exciting player. What's to like.
Yeah.
But the size is a concern.
Yeah, he was my other guy. Was Eric Gray at Tennessee, worth a mention. Again, I can see the comps between him and Ely. They're fairly similar. But he's just, all we need to do with these guys, that, you know, we like them as prospects, but just need to keep track of what sort of, you know, how much their bodies are developing as they go through the years. Because like, if he only puts 10 pounds on and he comes into the NFL at 190, I'm out. You know, he's not going to be anything more than a satellite back. But I'm hoping. You know, I've seen flashes of, you know, some very, very good running backs in Jerry O'Neely. There's plenty of workhorse three down running backs that have come in to college at 180 pounds and left to hit the NFL at you know, 205, 215 sort of weight. So that, you know, it can be done. But it's just whether he can still be as athletic as he is at that weight. Tight end, Baylor Cup, Texas A&M. Again, he's a popular tight end that a lot of people are aware of. 2023, who are you guys there, mate?
It's going pretty deep for 2023. I think I mentioned last time. I think by the time you're getting here, you're pretty much throwing darts and hoping for the best. So I had to cheat a wide receiver and put down David Bell, who I would expect will probably come out in 2022, but he will be a senior in 2023. So I'm hedging my bets. In quarterback, I tried to stay away from CJ Stroud, who we spoke about earlier on. He probably would be the guy. I think the guy that interests me most at the moment is Hank Backmeyer at Boise State.
Interesting.
The game against Florida State last year certainly piqued my interest, and I'd be interested to see if he can follow that up.
But you're banking on these guys being seniors. I was with the 23 class, I was more getting at freshmen coming in that I was after. Yeah. Who are your other guys, mate?
Running back, we've already talked about Kendall Milton. I would have running back, and at tight end. I've always been a huge fan of this guy. Probably the best tight end you're ever going to see. I would definitely put Alec Gilbert here, and that means no one else can choose him. So Alec Gilbert is my tight end.
Oh, right, okay. Well, shall I let you have him? Do you want him to be
your... just out of absolute spite.
Just because I've...
We should be clear that you've been talking about Alec Gilbert non-stop for forever.
Right, quarterback for me, Harrison Bailey is my guy, 2023 quarterback. Obviously, I like DJ Uiagalelei. I like Brock Purdy. Not Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy's a 23.
Yeah, Brock Purdy's a 2022 guy. Bryce Young. DJ Uiagalelei, Bryce Young, the main two guys coming out. But I like Harrison Bailey going to Tennessee. Awesome high school tape. Very, very well put together. He's got NFL size already coming out, which is rare to see from a quarterback coming out of high school. He's what we got in this to that 6'5", 211. So that's great. Awesome throw mechanics. He can make all the throws. And was actually asked to in high school as well. Marietta High School, very good high school. Run a very complex offense there, and he was balling out coming out of there. Great pocket.
Is there any tight ends?
At Marietta, they did have a tight end. A very good tight end coming out. Yeah, I'll talk about him in a bit if you want. Weaknesses for Harrison Bailey. Struggled with a few niggly injuries in high school. Just hope they don't follow him into college. And he's probably going to have to sit as a freshman at Tennessee there. So, but hopefully they give him a good chance and they don't dive back in for another quarterback next year. He's my quarterback. Running back, Jahmyr Gibbs. I spoke about him loads. Love him. Managed to get him, like I say, in all but one league so far, and I took him in the we did a Devy auction, didn't we, for our campus to Canton league. Yeah. I paid a fortune for him, but do you know what, I'd have carried on, just keep pressing add $1 until someone stopped. I can't remember who it was.
I wish I'd known that.
Well, so whoever it was, I was bidding against, knew it anyway. They knew I loved him, and they had no reason or desire to draft him whatsoever, and I ended up paying an absolute fortune for him. I think Breece Hall went for less than ridiculous, but you get, like you say, you got to go and get your guy. I like Jahmyr Gibbs. My wide receiver, spent a lot of time talking about him already, is Rakim Jarrett. He's my guy for the 2023 class. And the only player that we agree in college football at tight end is Arik Gilbert. We'll talk a little bit about this draft that we're in at the minute, this campus to Canton. I've never done a draft where I've had to, I don't know whether you have yourself, but where you've had to sort of draft together as a team. So me, Alan and Jack are obviously representing KM Devi against some real powerhouse podcasts out there. We've got Devi Happy Hour, we've got Brandon, Devi Deep Dive, we've got the Devi Delight, we've got the Devi Owners Manual as well. We're picking 11th, aren't we? So we've got six fans and six podcasts. So I'm just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think. We're sandwiched between the Devi Delight and the Devi Owners Manual. And then you've got the Devi Happy Hour, I think, picking at, what are they picking at, 8, and Devi Dispensary. Doug and Corey, two guys that I respect the hell out of as well. They're picking at 4, and Brandon at Devi Deep Dive picks at 5. So it's spread out quite nicely, but it's only just kicked off. So yesterday, so we picked 11th in the Canton side of the draft. we went quite young, didn't we, with our team in the Canton side of the draft. So just looking at the roster here, so we got Deshaun Watson at quarterback, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, TJ Hockenson, T. Higgins, Devin Singletary, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton, Rodney Anderson, Eno Benjamin, Mike Boone, Devonta Freeman, Daryl Henderson, Jordan Howard, John Kelly, Devine Ezekiel.
Did we get Rodney Anderson?
Yeah, we took him in the last round, mate, when we were about 6 hours off the clock. Brandon Ayuk, Corey Davis, always got to have a bit of Corey Davis, can't ever let him go. Gabriel Davis, Antonio Gandy-Golden, Jacoby Myers, James Proche, Riley Ridley, Trent Taylor, OJ Howard, Josh Oliver, and Drew Sample. So we've actually gone quite young there with our team, a couple of old vets, but we've gone quite young. So pick two we were at in the campus draft that started yesterday. So we took Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence went first, pretty much no-brainer pick there. And then it went quite quarterback peak tongue, didn't it? Towards the back end of round one at the start of round two. And
there were some funny picks.
Yeah, some interesting picks. But again, you know, you've got to get your guy. Guys that we may not be that high on that other people are. You know, Ryland, he's a great guy. Guy from Florida, he's a big Gators fan. He took Kyle Pitts round two. You know, can't grumble with that. He's a productive tight end, and you know, we went and got his guy. We said all along we wanted.
As you know, you're no fun, Jason. That was a terrible pick.
Look, you know, he's gone now. Kyle Pitts is gone. We're not going to get my guy or our guy because Kyle Pitts has gone so early. So, you know, it is what it is. So coming back, we wanted Bijan. We said we wanted him from the start. There was a couple of running backs, if they'd have fell, that we would have taken over him. But we're both really, really high on Bijan. So, and we thought he would slip a little bit more. So we left him to the start of round three, hoping he'd come back, which he did. We managed to secure Seth Williams at the back of round two. So three picks in, our roster is Justin Fields, Seth Williams and Bijan Robinson. It's already been a couple of trades, teams moving about and some strong-looking teams already, three rounds in. So we'll see how it goes, and obviously we'll probably be done for the next pod, and we'll drop our team and talk about why we chose guys and things like that. But it's just a bit of a rundown on the C2C league that we got going at the minute. So anyway, so that's our my guys then. So just to clarify, my 2023 guys: Harrison Bailey, Jamar Gibbs, Rakeem Jarrett, and Arik Gilbert. And that will pretty much do it for tonight. It's been a long one. Well over an hour and a half. August's going to be a pretty packed episode as well. We've got three conferences.
You've got to be impressed if someone's done listening now.
Yeah, they switched off ages ago, which is why I sort of just. I think I'm on my third beer now. So I'm
just talking to ourselves now.
Confidence that no one else is listening. Yeah,
so this would have been a better time for your 30-year-olds playing with 13-year-olds, Scotland.
We should have waited until the 10 o'clock watershed, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, it would have been more appropriate.
Hopefully, we'll have Jack back in August, so he can sort of help us break down those three conferences. And that's it for tonight. It's been nice catching up again, mate. And we'll reconvene. At the end of August.
Look forward to it. Have a good night.
All right, mate. Take care.
Cheers.